everybody. My name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This program is brought to you by Every Dot Black Entrepreneur Network. And we're so happy to have with us today Mr. Scott Hartman. And he's going to tell us about his experiences in business as well as his personal experiences. And I've heard some of it before, and I'm sure you're going to be very much inspired by what he has to say, both in terms of him being an entrepreneur as well as his personal experience. So welcome to you being here, Scott.
Well, thank you so much, William. Appreciate coming in today.
Great. Well, first of all, I'd like to mention to our audience that you're going to tell us about what you do in terms of your entrepreneurship. So what is your business like?
My business right now, me and my wife moved to Raleigh-Durham area. We're actually Apex, specifically, back in 2021, right after the pandemic hit. We were living in South Florida. I was down there for many years. When I came up here, I started the moving, hauling, garbage removal, and that kind of business. And it progressively has grown into a small operation that we run here, and progressively getting bigger and bigger. Our initial business was with many of the apartment complexes. We have around 25 preferred vendor lists that we're on with the apartment complexes now. We're now going more and more towards real estate agents. And, we do a lot of networking events. That's how I met you, William, last week or 2 weeks ago. And, just progressively meeting more and more people and getting our name out and making our name for ourselves here in the Raleigh area as being one of the preferred movers in the local area.
Okay. And I would like to tell everyone the program is based out of the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area. Now, I understand that you're from New York.
Yes, sir.
And tell us a little bit about your upbringing in New York.
Both my parents were immigrants. They, came to America. My dad came to New York in 1950. My mom came, both were born in Romania, originally from. My mom went to Israel and then, came for a vacation. I think it was 1965, right before she was about to join the army. She met my dad and never went back to Israel. And, they originally, lived in Brooklyn, New York, and then had my brother was born in Brooklyn, and then we moved upstate to Rockland County to live in the suburbia area. And that's why I really, transitioned here to North Carolina, because it was very similar to where I lived in New York, with a lot of trees and hills and streams, and it was a beautiful place to grow up. And my dad had his business on the Bowery in New York, and we were in the lighting for the main part, and then home furnishing accessory business. So my dad was an importer and manufacturer, and he used to have a small little factory and used to make his own stuff and used to sell it locally in New York. And then we opened up with his brother a store in New Jersey. And then my last year of high school in 1988, my dad sold his business, kept his real estate in Manhattan, and then we moved down to South Florida, and then he started all over again. And I've always worked with him, in packing, shipping, receiving, logistics. And then I got involved in the designing, importing, manufacturing, spent a lot of time overseas doing that kind of job. I spent a lot of time in Europe. I spent over 20 years going to China. From all that experience of having also family that's been dispersed throughout the world, I grew up speaking around 7 different languages. But languages, if you don't stay up to them, you lose them. So I'm down to like 4 that I could speak kind of regularly, Spanish, Hebrew, Chinese, and of course English, a little bit Italian, a little bit of Portuguese, German, Yiddish, so I was brought up with a lot of different cultures and a lot of backgrounds. Went away to college, University of South Florida in Tampa, graduated in 1994, then got involved with, really larger distribution, larger wholesale, manufacturing. That's when I really started to spend a lot more time overseas and then back and forth, containers in, containers out kind of situation. And that's how I got involved in the home goods and shipping and moving business. So when I came here, you know, we decided to open up the Grateful Moving of Apex, and just kept it going. You know, dealing with a lot of nice people, really a lot of nice folks out here in Raleigh. It's been such a great experience. We love it.
Well, great. You know, the Every Dot Black group I belong to, what we're about is promoting young entrepreneurs especially. So what kind of advice would you give a young entrepreneur trying to get started in his or her business?
You know, first you got to find a field that you really like. And it's all about the respect, you know. And what I try to teach the young kids today is respect. And once you earn your respect, business and everything, and if really you get in something that you love, that your passion is. So once you have passion in something, and you know, and you earn your respect in your field, and people appreciate who you are, they could trust you, rely on you, and they know, you know, at that point it doesn't matter about price, because even if you're higher than somebody else, they're dealing with someone that they trust, that they rely on, that they know is going to, you know, be taken care of properly. And there's a mutual respect, and it goes back and forth. And I think that's, you know, that's the biggest thing the young kids don't understand today, because everybody wants that quick fix. You know, they want to get a quick hit today. They don't think about what's going to happen in a month or 6 months, a year from now. And, you know, my old man was brought up in the streets of New York, and we were taught, you know, your man is your word. That's all you got in life. Because he came from the streets, you know, he came off the boat. There were no banks. You couldn't go anywhere back then. You had to deal with the people that were in the local community or somebody else's community. And the only way you could get ahead or do business is having a reputation. And your reputation precedes you. And after a while, if you try to, you know, in the beginning, you rip people off, you're going to be alive for a year or two or three, and then you're going to be out of business. And then nobody's going to want to deal with you, because everybody knows what kind of reputation you have. So those are the two most important things, I think, is respect and reputation, and everything else comes easy, really, afterwards.
Okay. Well, great. Well, listen, I'll ask you this later before we end this session, but give everybody your contact information,
sure.
In case if someone would like to contact you.
Absolutely. My name is Scott Hartman. Phone number is 732-351-3735, and our email address is gratefulmovingofapex@gmail.com. That's gratefulmovingofapex@gmail.com. Thank you so much.
Okay. Well, listen, Scott, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of your personal experiences.
Awesome. Thank
you. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. We're here with Scott Hartman, and we will now talk about some of his experiences. And I talked with him briefly earlier, last week, I believe, or it may have been a couple of weeks ago, and it was very interesting, some of the things that he has gone through in terms of his personal experience. And one of the things that he mentioned was an incident that happened, and I forget exactly when you said it was, whether it was a year, a couple of years ago, as far as an unusual event, I'll put it that way. And that's largely what this program is about, the unusual, extraordinary, and sometimes even miraculous experiences that people have. And certainly what you told me about would fit into that category. And so I'd like for you to tell everyone exactly what led to this particular experience, and a little bit later, more details about it.
Well, thank you so much, William. I appreciate this opportunity again. Just like to start off with saying is, like I said earlier, my family is originally from Romania, and I was always brought up with a spiritual kind of mindset. Not that we were so heavy into, you know, voodoo and all that kind of stuff, but there was definitely a side of the culture that was very much into the black magic and all that kind of stuff. I was never really involved in it. Some of my family members were, you know, as far as seance readings and fortune telling and all that kind of stuff, because it came from, you know, a lot of that, you know, gypsy background comes from Romania, you know. So, but that being said, when I was 1 year old, I had a few experiences in my life where I had near-death experiences. One of them when I was 1 year old. I was very sick. I wound up with some kind of virus. I don't remember what it was called. I spent my first birthday in the hospital, hooked up to some kind of tubes, and I was told that I almost lost my life at that time. Anyway, going on through life, then when I was younger as a kid, I wound up getting shingles when I was around maybe 9 or 10 years old. Went to the doctor. It was very, very unusual. Then later, you know, everything wound up being okay. Then later on in life, I wound up getting what I thought was pink eye. So I go to the doctor, and I was in my, let's say, mid-20s at this point in time. Went to the doctor, and he told me that he thought I had brain cancer at the time. Wound up going to the doctor and found out I had acute retinal necrosis, which is basically a virus that attacks the retina. And I lost vision, and I lost my left eye, and it was a 50% chance of losing vision in my right eye. Thank God that never happened. They put me on a medicine called Zovirax, which basically they were trying to drown the virus. All my organs shut down. All my liver, my kidneys, nothing was working. I had to be rushed to the emergency room also. You know, I was basically, my body was shutting down. They were able to revive me. I made it through that. It was a, thank God, everything became all right. Another situation, I had like a, we used to call it as a kid, a liver mark on my face. Well, they used to, a birthmark also is what they call it. And I've had it since I was a little kid, and I never really thought much of it. And when I first came down, when I first moved down to South Florida, I went to the doctor for skin tags. And the doctor looked at it, and he took a look, he took a scraping, and he said, oh, he did a test on it, a bio, came back, he said it's positive, everything's fine. Like 10 years later, you know, also went for skin tags again, you know, to have removed. The doctor looked at it again, and a different doctor, an older one, and he looked at my face again, and he said, we need to look at that. I said, no, I already looked at it 10 years ago. He said, it's fine, I've had it since I'm a little kid. He says, I don't know. So he took a chunk of my, it was on my cheek. He actually cut a chunk of my cheek off. I'm like, what is this guy doing? You know, I had a big, so he sent it off to the bio. It wound up coming positive for melanoma. The melanoma went down 6 layers. If it would have went down to the one more layer to the 7th layer, it would have circulated throughout my body, and it would have been too late at that time. So I miraculously, I caught it at the right time. Another situation where, it was amazing. There was another time when I was in the ocean with my son on our wave runners, and all of a sudden, we were in South Florida, a storm came in quickly, and all of a sudden, we both got turned over on our wave runners, and I got caught in a jet stream, and I was being pulled out to the ocean, and I had a hard time actually getting back in, and it was very, very strenuous. It was a miracle. Actually, I made it back on that time also. So it was back in 2021, right after COVID, I was doing a lot of driving up to New York and then driving back down to North Carolina here. And I was on the way down. And I felt like my throat was like getting congested, and I couldn't breathe. Like I started having a hard time breathing. So I started coughing like, phlegm stuck, and suddenly this happened within, would say, you know, 10 minutes. All of a sudden, I felt like I was, you know, just felt like I was, couldn't breathe, like congestion. So, you know, I was on the phone and, you know, my wife, and she said, you know, go over to the drugstore and go get yourself some Mucinex, and that'll break up the phlegm and you'll be able to breathe. So I pulled over, and then I was in Washington, D.C. I pulled over and went to Walgreens. And it was such a political charge at that time that when I came in, I was coughing, you know, trying to breathe. Went over to the Mucinex section. I had a police officer come over to me and told me that I need to leave Walgreens because I was coughing, and it was during the COVID, during the pandemic. I said, sir, but I'm here buying medicine. I need to get some kind of medicine. He says, I don't, you know, he gave me an extreme hard time. And he said, no, you have to leave now, or I'm gonna arrest you for being inside a public place. While you're sick, I said, well, where else am I supposed to go buy medicine anyway? Without any further to do, I just grabbed the medicine, paid for it quickly, made it to my truck, and then I went over to at that time, I felt like I was really having a really, really hard time breathing, and I couldn't really breathe, so I started to panic, and I looked at my phone and Google Maps, and it said, walk-in clinic. Few blocks away, I drove over to the walk-in clinic. I went in. The walk-in clinic wouldn't let me in. At that point in time, my throat really started to close, and I couldn't, at that point in time, I couldn't really talk. My voice stopped because I had no air coming throughout. So I couldn't breathe, I couldn't talk because no air was coming in, no air was going out. I didn't understand why. For whatever reason, I thought I had COVID at the time. You know, that was the first thing that came to my head. I said, oh my God, do I have COVID? You know, I can't breathe. I'm hearing all these things. People can't breathe. So they said, no, you got to go to the emergency room. I said, well, I can't breathe. I said, can you call an ambulance? She says, no, we can't even call an ambulance. I get in my car, and at that time, my throat completely closed. And then I'm trying to find the emergency room, went back to Google Maps, found the emergency room. I drove to the emergency room, George Washington Hospital, put my car in park right in the middle of the street. I ran inside. At that point, you know, I was driving around for almost around 10 minutes with my throat completely closed. I had no air. I couldn't breathe and I couldn't talk. I went over to the reception lady. She said, what's wrong? And I moved my lips saying, I can't breathe. She pushed some button. The next thing I know, I'm in a gurney. They got me surrounded by 20 people and everybody doing tests. And it was like out of a movie, you know? And then like a minute, I just remember like maybe a minute later. And the next thing I realize, it's 10 days later and I'm waking up and I have no idea where I am. And the experience that I had while I was under was quite mind-boggling. I mean, it was, it's very hard to explain, you know, unless you actually experience what I experienced. You know, what they call it, you know, what you hear about out-of-body experiences and that kind of thing. It was quite, you know, I met an angel. And she was just guiding me through life, and it was just so beautiful. I can't even explain it. It was like she was just a calming moment, and how she was just like walking me through my life. I was just different sceneries of I don't know exactly what her purpose was, but she was there, like she was just trying to guide me and help me, and just try to spiritually like get me through the situation that I was in because I didn't know what was going on to me. It was a situation where she was just, you know, just taking me through all these different situations in my life of just times and past, emotional. I just like almost like saw pictures of time frames as I'm walking down a pathway with her of different parts of my life and just leading up to me where I am now. And there was another situation where we just got a golden doodle, a dog, and I'm a very... You know, I'm a big dog person, you know, I relate very much to them. And it's very weird because it's so hard to explain. But like when I was there in my trance, because they had me under ketamine. I'm not sure if you're familiar with ketamine. It's a medicine now that they're using more and more. When I was a kid, it's basically the same thing as what they call angel dust or PCP back in the 70s or 80s it's a hallucinogenic that they use for pain instead of using a morphine or an opioid. So now more and more of the medical fields are using ketamine as a pain, because what they had to do was put a tube down my throat because I had zero. I found out afterwards that I had 100% blockage in my throat, and that's why I wasn't able to breathe. And that's why I passed out, because I had absolutely no air coming to my body for over 10 minutes. And how I made it over to the emergency room was just a miracle. And it's just, I think just your body just took over, like the energy rush of like your survival instincts. And it's like It's, you know, even though I wasn't breathing, the only thing I could see is like an automatic response, like breathing, where it's like your just body's going to go until it can't go no more, until you can't realize. So that's what I was able to do without any air, and it was. Anyway, back to the golden doodle. I had a golden doodle that we just got, and when I was lying in my bed, it's hard to explain. It's kind of sound crazy, but you know, but it almost felt like there were demons coming, and she would come out and jump out at them and like chase them away. Every time like something would try to come over, and like a dark source would come up, she would jump over my head and like jump them away, and it was the strangest. I mean, it was the strangest thing. One of the strangest things that I can visualize, or I can't even describe it, because you actually had to be there in that my mind to understand exactly what I was going through. It's very, very hard to put in words, but it was just an amazing experience when I went through. As far as I saw these people and these spirits that were trying to basically keep me alive. You know, they were trying to push me back. And to keep the rest of the darkness away, because the darkness was trying to take me, you know.
That's an amazing story, and we're going to continue this story in the second part, but we're almost out of time. But we're going to take a break now, and we'll come back in just a minute, and we'll finish the program for this time. So stay with us. Welcome back. We're here with Scott Hartman, and he's in the process of telling us an amazing story. And Scott, we're going to finish this story the next time in part two of this interview. Tell us, just sum everything up, and then again we'll return next time to finish the story. And it's an amazing story, by the way.
You know, I think, you know, life is very funny, and you know, you got to appreciate what you have and who you have and who's around you, and just love whatever you can around you, and give that love around to everybody, and bring peace and joy and happiness to this life, and be there for everybody else. You know, I think the more love we could pass along, the better everybody will be, and the happier everybody will be, and you know, and just to get us on to the next place we're going to be, because we're all here only for a short time. You know, our bodies are just shells. Our spirits move on. You know, our souls live forever. Energy doesn't die. You know, and that's the way I feel. And, you know, I feel that humanity should be, you know, treating each other as one. And we should get together and all be peace and love and joy, and all this political agenda and all the politics that divided us, I think it's just there to deceive us and not bring what this world needs is the love and humanity. And I think we're all being manipulated by the sources above to keep us a distance and apart, just so they have control and they have power. And I think all of that is just brainwashing, and I think all of that is just tools for the elites to keep us stupid and separated. And I think we all need to get together and you know, just get, you know, have love and peace and joy for each other, man. That's what it's all about.
Well, great. As I said, we're going to be back next time, and we're going to finish this amazing story, how he was delivered from this situation. A very amazing story that Scott brought us today. So again, I'd like to thank you for being with us. And one more time, give us your contact information so that if anyone would like to contact you, they can do that.
Absolutely. It's a Grateful Moving of Apex, 732-351-3735. You know, we do move houses, apartments. We also do junk removal, garbage removal, you know, any kind of furniture hauling, anything that you might need picked up or dropped off. Scott Hartman, 732-351-3735. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Scott, for being with us. And if anybody would like to contact me, the host of Storytelling Time, just email me at waporter4995@yahoo.com, and I will respond to you. So that's all for today. And keep this in mind, that whatever you're going through, whether it's good or bad, just remember, there's always more, always more things coming your way. We'll see you the next time. Bye-bye.